Welcome back to our study of Exodus. We are in chapter 13, and I'd like to pick up with verse 12, please, and we'll start our discussion with verse 13. So verse 12, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matric, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's, and every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with the lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem.
You know, we were talking about this earlier, there's a lot of things I don't know, and I'm not telling you that the Lord said this, but this was just a thought. I've wondered, you know, about breaking a donkey's neck. Well, this was an unclean animal and all that. But there's more to that. There's a lot of other unclean animals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, what's the significance here? And so I was thinking about the characteristics of a donkey. Number one, a donkey is known as a beast of burden, right? In other words, it carries burden. He's not wanting us to carry burden. Jesus has borne a burden. And then another thing, we can think about stubborn or rebellious, how a donkey balks, rebelling against authority or whatever, and how that there is no place for that, and how that we have been redeemed from that. And so redeem here means that for that donkey's life to be spared, there had to be a price paid. Well, how many of you know for our life to be spared, there had to be a price paid?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of donkeys running around there. So. I'll let it go with that. And I did say donkey.
That's true. Okay. Verse 14. And it shall be when thy son ask thee in time to come, saying, what is this that thou shalt say unto him? By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matric, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thy hand, and for frontlets between thy eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt.
So the purpose for setting aside the firstborn as God's property was to illustrate to each generation what God did to the firstborn of Egypt when he delivered the Israelites from the Egyptian bondage, obviously with a strong hand. Now, when you think about this, Israel was the first nation born of God, right? That's why God's calling Israel his firstborn. He said, let my firstborn go.
Right.
All right? You won't? Then your firstborn is mine. I'll take your firstborn.
Hmm.
And so because Pharaoh would not release God's firstborn, Israel, God took Pharaoh's firstborn. The whole nation of Egypt, not just Pharaoh, but all the firstborn, both people and animals. And so the Israelites were to tell their children, and they were to tell their children how that there was a redemption. I redeemed my firstborn by taking his firstborn. God gave his firstborn to redeem us. There's so much here. You look at Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the 22nd chapter of Genesis where God told Abraham, sacrifice your son.
Mm-hmm.
And then Abraham doesn't argue. He goes up and he goes through the process and has the knife drawn back to slay Isaac. Now, it's interesting when you think about this, because Isaac was not an infant. He carried the wood up the mountain, which is a type of Christ carrying his cross. And Abraham is an old man. He was 100 years old when Isaac was born. And he ties this boy up, laid him on the wood, and is ready to sacrifice him. And God stops him. And God says, now I know you haven't withheld your son, your firstborn son, your only son. God recognized Isaac as the only son of promise.
Yeah.
And so what did God do? Because Abraham did not withhold his son, God gave his son, son for son. But Hebrews says that in his heart, Abraham had sacrificed Isaac.
That's right.
You understand?
Sure.
And so the firstborn is a ransom for the firstborn. Pretty interesting when you think about it. Now this was to be handed down to the generations. Now your firstborn belongs to God. Animal, your firstborn son. Don't kill your son, but you have to ransom him. You have to pay a certain amount of money for that boy's life. That was the law written in Moses' law. God gave it, the law of Moses, okay? And so this is passed down from generation to generation. What's it saying? That there's a firstborn that's going to ransom all the others. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
And this has been spread abroad.
Mm.
Don't stop telling your children what God's done for you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stop telling your children what God has done for you through Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although it was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt.
You know, going back to the firstborn.
Okay.
This was a visible reminder to all the children of Israel that would have come. This is a visible reminder by giving their firstborn, you understand, firstborn of the flock, firstborn son, whatever, of what it took to get Israel out of Egypt, and pointing to what it took to get us out of Egypt, get us out of bondage, out of the bondage of sin. Okay? Now, when God led them out, the nation of Israel out, remember they're following the lead of God.
Yeah.
The cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It says he didn't take them through the land of the Philistines. That was a closer route.
Right.
But the reason he didn't is because the Philistines would have resisted them and they would have been at war and they weren't ready for war. They had to be seasoned.
Hmm.
Do you understand? They were used to being slaves.
Yeah.
So being free was different.
Yeah.
And so they have to be trained to be free.
Hmm.
There's a whole lot to that, okay? But he takes them to the way of the wilderness. Now he had another reason for doing this. He takes them into this place. Have I got to those names yet?
No, sir.
You want to read those names?
Is that a trick question? Yes, I do. Pi-Hahiroth, Migdol, and Baal-Zephon. Are these the names you're referring to in the 14th chapter?
So God leads them out of Egypt into the wilderness through the Red Sea, and the multitude, and I want you to note this, this is absolutely incredible, and it's beyond imagination. It says, the multitude that left Egypt were in great physical shape. Now think about this. There was not a feeble one among them.
Wow.
Now the army was 601,000. And now think about the mixed multitude. Think about the wives, the children, all the people.
I can't imagine.
I mean, where can you go and find 1 million people and not one feeble one among them?
Wow.
That's incredible. You want to read Psalm
105.
Yeah. 105:37.
He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes.
Now, how did they bring them out? Not empty-handed.
Yeah.
With silver and gold, and not one feeble one among them. That is amazing.
That's amazing.
So they don't have an excuse. Mm. They're in shape to take the journey, okay?
In verse 19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you.
Now think about this. They get a dead body because Joseph had made them swear that when they made their exodus out of Egypt, that they would take him with them. And so Moses honors that request. So all this journeying that they're doing, they're carrying a dead body there. Joseph, by faith. He got out of Egypt by faith. What? He knew that that promised land, that Canaan land, was theirs. Don't leave me in bondage, dead or alive. You get me out of here. And so Moses did.
That's amazing. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud and led them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night.
Now remember, they were building the city of Ramesses and all this. That's where they left from. And they went to Succoth, and they left from there to Etham, and then encamped at the edge of the wilderness. And it says the Lord went before them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a real key. The Lord went before them. Now he's led them. How he's going before them? He's in a pillar, a cloud, by day. And by night, that's fire. Well, that's pretty incredible. How many of you have ever seen a pillar of fire by night? In the sky. Think about it. That's how God's leading them. Going before them. Stay in step with me. Which is pointing to being led by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's a test question. You're going to see that. God leading the Israelites by a cloud is symbolic of being led by the Holy Spirit.
Now, something to realize here, when they left, they did not leave in a panic. They did not leave in chaos. But the children of Israel left Egypt in orderly ranks. God declared their exodus. as the beginning of the year.
Mm.
This is when your year starts, which, as we said earlier, which is pointing to the new birth of the believer.
Yeah.
When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you die to sin, you die to bondage. Now your new life has begun. It's a new beginning for you. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17. I tell you what, here lately I've been mixing these things up. We've been having to make some correction. But if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I think. Check me out. Old things passed away. 2 Corinthians, right? 5:17. And behold, look, pay attention. Everything has become new.
Yes.
It's talking about the spirit man, not the physical man, but the spirit man. A new beginning. Your life begins with the new birth. Amen?
Amen.
Life. Not existence. Life. There's a difference.
You know, I didn't read that last verse, that 22nd verse. But God did not take away that pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people.
Right.
Y'all, when we're yoked up with the Lord and we've been baptized into His Holy Spirit, we have an assurity that His Spirit is with us. He's with us. He's not taking His Spirit away. He's with us.
That cloud was with them during all their rebellion.
Yeah.
In the wilderness. God never deserted them. He stayed with them until they went into the land that He promised them. God's Spirit in us is taking us to our promised land.
Amen.
And He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. Here again, this is a type is pointing to what the Spirit of God is going to do. He's going to take us to the place He's promised us to live eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ.
It's amazing. Chapter 14. I want to say something about them leaving the children.
Right,
I want to say something else about them leaving. They left fully equipped, but they didn't leave, y'all. They left in confidence. They left in confidence because they weren't running from Pharaoh without his knowledge. He said, "Get out."
Mm-hmm.
And so they had the commands of the Lord and the official of that was over them, naturally speaking. So you think about leaving in full confidence, enough confidence to go to their neighbors because they've been given the command that I need your silver and your gold and your precious jewels, and may I have that, please? Sure, take what here. So I look at that, they left in orderly ranks or fully equipped. They were equipped physically. They had what they were going to need. You know, the Lord provided all that gold and the silver and all the things that they took. That we talked about this the other night. They were going to need that. The Lord is so faithful and so good. His ways are higher than our ways. You know, we try to figure things out. If you're like me, try to figure things out on your own and always come up short. Always. When we do things His way in His time, and it's so good, and we're taken care of, blessed along the way. But now when we look at chapter 14 here, we're going to see the beginning of their journey. Pharaoh has a change of heart. Imagine that. Israel's complaint and the destruction of Pharaoh's army.
You know, Israel responded to the first opposition they had by complaining. What do you do? Think about it. And in spite of Israel's complaint, God delivered the Israelites and destroyed the Egyptians, as we see here, through the Red Sea experience. It's amazing. As Heather was talking, I was thinking about how God supplied them with all this gold,
right,
silver, all the wealth. God had a reason for that. It was to be used for him.
Mm-hmm.
But you find that later on, the gold that God gave them,
yeah,
they make a god of their own. The golden calf, remember?
Yeah.
And Moses was so furious, he ground it in powder and made them eat it, drink it,
yeah,
put it in the water. Don't take what God has blessed you with and use it against God or make your own god. And so many people today are taking the blessing of God and formulating their own god, which is taking them in the wrong direction. Okay?
All right. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying... You're good. Okay. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall you encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in.
So God had this strategy. No, you're not going to take, I'm not going to take you through the land of Philistines. That'll discourage you. I'm going to take you to a place to encourage you. Okay? Now you have to stay with this, okay? And so his strategy was this. I'm going to take you into a place, I'm going to lead you into a direction that your enemy will be totally destroyed. Your deliverance, your enemy's destruction. That's how God will lead you. If you're following.
But how many of us would want to take the short route? It's quicker if I go this way.
Oh, yeah.
Let me go this way. I don't want to go the long way.
No.
It's amazing how many people think they have a better idea than God. The Spirit says do this, and God's not saying that. And I'm telling you, I'm concerned. People just... making decisions off of a whim. They're not being led by the Spirit of God. Listen, all that glitters is not gold. It may look good, but it may eat your lunch in the end. Be led by the Spirit of God. God knows His thoughts toward you. God has a plan for you. God knows the purpose for which He created you. That's why He wants us to follow Him. And sometimes it just may be into the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so.
So Pharaoh says they're trapped. So what's his plan? His plan is to harm the Israelites. God's plan was to destroy Pharaoh and his army. And the Lord, once again, says he's hardened Pharaoh's heart. He pursued the Israelites. And through the defeat of Pharaoh and his army, God would make famous. God would be made famous throughout the land of Egypt, and they would know that He's the Lord. The Israelites obeyed God and went to the place that God instructed them to go, and they set up camp. Now, I was thinking about this afternoon, how, you know, all the plagues that was poured out on Egypt and the destruction of the nation. And then the last one, the death of the firstborn of everyone in Egypt.
Yeah.
All the Egyptians. And finally, Pharaoh says, all right, get out of here, get out of here, get out of here. Not because his heart was soft.
Mm.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
In a panic. Get out of here, or I'm afraid we're all going to die. Get out of here.
Yeah.
But isn't it amazing how soon he gets over that and goes right back in pursuit of God's people. Persistent. You understand? And what's his intent? His intent was, you're going to be in bondage or we're going to kill you.
Mm.
We're not going to let you go.
Mm.
And you think about how Satan operates. So often people get out of bondage and he tries to kill them.
Yeah.
With whatever means. You have to keep your eyes on God, be led by the Spirit of God, so God can lead you and protect you. Okay?
Mm-hmm. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we had let Israel go from serving us?
So they have a change of heart. His officials and Pharaoh, what have we done?
Mm.
Man, we had all these forced labor in here. We had all these slaves. And now we just lost our workforce. Mount up. Let's get out of it. Let's go get them.
Yeah.
Not knowing that they're selling their own destiny.
Mm. And he made ready his chariot. And he took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them.
Well, I find it interesting. It says he took 600 of the very best, mm-hmm. you know, the best.
Mm-hmm.
But then it says he took all the chariots that was in Egypt.
Yes.
And so now his army is in hot pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the best of his army in hot pursuit. Then what's God going to destroy? His best.
Mm. Man. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand.
I like the way this is laid out, how the Lord hardens his heart, and he pursues the descendants of Israel who boldly left Egypt with much of their wealth. That's how God wants us to do when we're born again. Be bold about leaving the bondage of sin. Be bold about this new life. You with me?
Yeah. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army overtook them encamping by the sea beside Phiahirath before Baal-Zephon.
The Egyptians pursued the Israelites, and all of Pharaoh's horse-drawn chariots and his cavalry pursued them. And
mm-hmm.
They caught up with the Israelites while they encamped there by the Red Sea near Phiahirath. Evil intent, you understand?
Yeah.
And that, if he tells you the location, is across from Baal-Zephon, okay?
And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians that we should die in the wilderness.
It shows you how fickle people are, okay? So when Pharaoh and his army come near, the Israelites see them, they become afraid. And so they cried to the Lord, but then they started complaining to Moses. So they spoke to Moses and accusing him. There wasn't enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out here in the wilderness to die.
No.
So why did you take us out of Egypt? Well, they followed him. They said, we told you. Now, this, if you really look at this, you'll see the kind of opposition that Moses was against with his own people.
Mm-hmm.
His own people were not in total agreement with him. We told you before we ever left. This is probably referring to the elders, the leaders or whatever, that we'd be better off to stay here and serve these Egyptians and to die in the wilderness. It's amazing how people would rather stay in bondage and walk in freedom because they don't want to fight for their freedom.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem we have today. People don't want to fight for the freedom. Just passive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever will be, you know, you want to rule us. Bring communism on in. Get God out. Just make us comfortable. No. That's not how I think. Some things are worth fighting for, you understand? And your freedom is worth fighting for.
Yeah.
Both spiritually and physically.
Yeah.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I won't get on that bandwagon. We'll go on.
And Moses said unto the people, fear you not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever.
So Moses, he responds to the people. He tells them not to fear. You stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You're going to witness God's salvation here. So Moses, he's believing, you understand.
Yeah.
And that God's going to grant them a tremendous salvation. And so he declared to them, he said, the Egyptians that you see, you won't see them anymore. They're pursuing you now, but they're going to go out of your sight. They're going to be destroyed is the essence of it. And so he said, the Lord will fight for you. Now you be quiet. Quit your murmuring and complaining. Okay.
That's good. And the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward.
Now, this is interesting to me because if I'm understanding it right, evidently Moses is crying out to the Lord.
Help, help, help.
Now, this is profound. The Lord says, why are you crying out to me? What's in your hand?
Yes.
What did I give you? Isn't that the rod of God? Isn't that a rod of authority? Isn't that the rod that destroyed Egypt? Stretch that rod out over those waters. I was thinking about this afternoon. How many people are complaining to God, wanting God to do something, and God said, what did I give you? I gave you my word. I gave you my spirit. I've given you authority in the name of Jesus. Why are you crying out? Take what I've given you and use it. You get the message? God is wanting us to take what he's given us and to use that to bring about our deliverance instead of crying, oh, help me, help me, help me, help me. Help yourself with what I've given you. Stretch your rod out, Moses. What's in your hand?
Oh, that's
remember that it's vested with the power of God. Whatever God's given to you, if you'll use it, God's backing it. Okay? So he told him, you stretch that out over the Red Sea and the waters will divide and allow the Israelites to go over on dry land. Now Moses believed it was going to happen. He just believed God was going to do it independently of him. But yet God's requiring him to do something.
Yeah.
Hold your rod out.
Mm.
Wow.
God's not going to do everything for you. He's going to require you to do something. He will instruct you how. He'll give you the ability. He'll give you the power. But you're going to have to cooperate.
Good. Verse 17, and I behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen.
Well, the Lord, it just says, listen, Pharaoh's heart is going to be hardened, as Egyptians' hearts are hardened, and they're going to pursue the Israelites right into this divided sea. They're going to try to get into the provision I gave you. But what I provided as your salvation is going to be their destruction. Amen?
Amen.
Well, our time's up. We're going to have to stop here. Ooh. I'm about to get fired up.
Wow.
Here. The rod of God.
Yeah.
And you've got it. Just have to use it. It's called Jesus Christ. Isn't he the branch?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. So Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you. We before you. Amen.
Amen.
Let's have a great week.